Matthew 15. You all know that we're going through the book of Matthew right now. And these are the next verses in line. And I love the fact that on the day that we're going to go down and have a feast, as Brother Tony keeps putting it, we've come to the account where our Lord provided a great feast for a multitude of people. Let's read verses 32 to 39 again. It says, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala." This is now the second time that our Lord has done this. He just did it in chapter 14 for a multitude of 5,000 men beside women and children with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now he does it again for 4,000 men, besides women and children, with 7 loaves and a few fish. And the first thing we see in this is our Lord's miraculous ability. Just think about this. This really happened. This really happened. There were men and women really there. And this event really happened. Think about the miraculous ability of this man. Just think about the ability of this man. The disciples handed him 7 loaves of baked bread. Somebody had brought lunch. That's what happened the first time. They said, well, a lad here has lunch. And again, somebody brought some baked bread and a few cooked fish fillets. And they gave it to the Lord. In chapter 14, you know, they were saying, how are we going to feed these people again? And again, they said, where are we going to find this much bread? And what he said in chapter 14 was, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Do we have a dilemma here? Bring them to me. Here, hand it to me. So they hand these 7 loaves and a few fish into the hands of the Lord. And I can envision him reaching his hand over into a basket or baskets and breaking up portions. And they see his hands down inside this basket, you know, and they know that he took 7 loaves and a few fish and he had it down in there and he breaks up this bread and fish into portions, and then he handed the basket or baskets to the disciples, and he said, go feed them. And because this had happened once before, I see them doing it with a little bit more faith this time. Just a little bit more faith this time. You know, they again said, where are we going to find this much bread? And like when we looked at this last time, everybody needs to be fed. Where's the bread going to come from? Bring it to him. Put it in his hands. Put it in his hands. Put it all in his hands. And how soon we forget. Oh, ye of little faith, what happened to the faith I just gave you? Have you forgotten already? But then when it comes back to memory, through experience, through the Lord proving himself to us, we grow. Lord, increase our faith. We grow in knowledge. We grow in faith. I can envision them after they had their moment of doubt. And he said, here, hand me that. And he broke it up and handed it back to them and said, go feed them. I can see them with gladness of heart taking that basket. All the people sat down in rows. I would imagine a lot like this. And one by one, the disciples went to every man, woman, and child. And they reached in and they pulled out until their heart was satisfied. They pulled out all that their heart desired. And the basket never went empty. It just never went empty. You know, this is God we're dealing with. This is God. This is God that we are speaking of. God Almighty. God Almighty. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. If He wills it to be, it is. All He has to do is will it to be. And it is. So the first glorious thing that we see in this account is the absolute sovereign ability of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and our God. Our Lord and our God. And the second thing we see in this is the compassion of our Lord and our God. Verse 32 says he did this because he had compassion on them. If you look with me, it says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Oh, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word compassion means to be moved by love. That's what compassion is. It means to yearn in sympathy and pity for. Moved by love. Yearning in sympathy and pity for. Thank God for the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 9 verse 15 says, He will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. It is a sovereign compassion. It's a particular compassion singled in on every soul that the Father gave to him and joined him to. But thank God he will have compassion. I just thank God for the character of this man. This man is God who does what he wants with whom he wants, and this is what he wanted. He was moved by love, yearning and sympathy and pity. That's what he wanted to do. Thank God for the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ on sinners, sinners like you and me. Thank God he was moved. Thank God. Don't turn, but Psalm 86, verse 15, it says, Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, that means patient, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Thank God. Thank God. Full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. How amazing. How wonderful. Where was that compassion and grace and mercy from God found? How was that compassion and grace and mercy shown to God's people? It was shown, it was given through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's what this account represents. It represents the redemption that is freely given in Christ Jesus. This story is a picture of the cross. Every single story in Scripture is a picture of the cross. Every one. This one is no different. The details of this story describe the details of the cross to us, all right? Who did he do this for? This glorious thing that he did, streaming from his compassion and his love. Who did he do this for? Look at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. He did this for the empty. He did this for the empty. He did this for the weak. He did this for those who are in a place where they have no ability to provide for themselves what they need to sustain life. People make this statement all the time. So many people believe this. The statement is, he helps those who help themselves. That is not so. He helps those who can't help themselves. That's who he helps. He did this for those who are in a place where they have no ability to provide for themselves what they need to sustain life. None whatsoever. It says he made them all to sit down in verse 35. That's what it says. He did this for the humbled. He did this for beggars. And I pray that that's you and me. The true preaching of the gospel is one beggar telling other beggars where he found bread. That's what the preaching of the gospel is. One beggar telling other beggars where he found bread. I pray that's you and me. It's nearly impossible to make a man or a woman empty. Nearly impossible. It's almost a sincere rarity to find a man or woman who's weak. You can't find a beggar to save your life. They're everywhere. They just don't know it. It has not been revealed to it. May God reveal to us our true condition in the flesh. Empty. Weak. Beggars. I pray that's you and me. Verse 36 says, he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them. That's what he did for his disciples the night that he was betrayed. He pictured what he was going to accomplish on the cross of Calvary for them in the ordinance of his table. What it was going to take to put away their sin. That's what he pictured. He said, this is my body. Broken for you. Broken for you. He said, you take this and you eat this. You live on this. You live on me. Live by me. That was the accomplishment of the cross. That's the message of the cross. That's the accomplishment. That's the message of the cross. Verse 36 says, he broke it. He broke it. That's the sovereign message of the cross. He broke it. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He sovereignly bowed his head and gave up his ghost. He broke it. And then verse 36 says, he gave it to his disciples and the disciples gave it to the multitude. That's the responsibility of God's preacher. To by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, take the things of Christ and deliver it to his people. And verse 37 says, every soul who truly fed was filled. Every soul who truly fed on it was filled. If we ever feed on Christ, if we ever feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be filled. There's no room for emptiness if a soul feeds on Christ. There is no emptiness. Our Lord said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I'll fill it with heavenly bread. Christ, our heavenly bread, he or she who hungers and thirsts after him shall be filled. Verse 37 says, they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. They started with 7 loaves, and they ended up with 7 baskets full. That declares the fullness. The all-sufficiency of Christ our Savior. He and his glory and his mercy and grace, it cannot be exhausted. It cannot be exhausted. Where our sin has abounded, his grace has much more abounded, infinitely more abounded. His fullness is infinitely greater than our emptiness. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It just cannot be exhausted. It's brand new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, the compassion of the Lord. Oh, the compassion of the cross. Who can partake of it? Who is the fullness of Christ for? Verse 38 says, men, women, and children. Old, young, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, sinner, greater sinner. Do you need Christ? Do you hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ? If you do, I have a wonderful announcement for you this morning, okay? Let's get to the message. If anybody needs Christ, the story is told of a doctor, a general practitioner, family doctor who, and I spoke to a man not too long ago who knew this doctor. This is a true story. But he was in his practice and there was a waiting room full of people. Just, they kept coming in and everybody was waiting. It was taking forever to get to the patients and somebody would come back and, you know, they'd have a bump on their knee and need a Band-Aid. And then somebody would come back and just little things. And he finally said, hold on just a minute. And he walked out into the waiting room and he said, is anybody here sick? Is anybody actually sick? If you are, come on. And that's the message this morning. Is anybody sick? Does anybody actually need Christ? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a feel-good moment. I'm saying, does anybody need Christ? Here's the message this morning. Come on. Come on. In heart, in soul, not in feet, not in geographical location, don't come to the front, don't come to the preacher, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are empty, some are and some are not. I realize that. If you are weak, some are and some are not. But if you are empty and if you're weak and if you're in need, come on. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people who know what it is to be empty. Empty in heart, empty in soul, empty in spirit. There are some people on this earth, there are some people here in this room right now, this morning, who know something of what it is to be weak and faint in the flesh. Weak and faint in sin. Weak and faint in any good deeds, saying, I have no good deeds. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Weak and faint in anything that could be offered to God. Empty of anything that He would accept. Anything. Nothing. And the more we know of our emptiness, the more weak and faint we feel. The more we know of it, the more weak and faint we feel. Listen to this glorious news right here. That is the very type of person that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ says, come on to. I have a message this morning for the empty and weak. It's coming from one line in this account. One line stood out to me. It spoke to my heart. It blessed my soul. And my prayer to God is that by His Spirit, He will make every man, woman, and child here today empty in self. I pray He empties everybody. I pray every soul here winds up crying, woe is me. One man made the statement, and I love it. He said, I'm not trying to get anybody saved. I'm trying to get people lost. If a person ever gets lost, that's where Christ finds them. If anybody here is empty, in self, weak in the flesh of our own ability, then come on. Here's the reason why I say that, okay? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has said concerning every sinful and weak sinner who comes to Him. I mean every sinful and weak sinner who comes to Him. Look at the end of verse 32. This is the line that got my attention. And here's the message from His own word to us, okay? The end of verse 32. He said, I will not send them away. Empty. Fasting. Empty-handed. I will not send them away. Now, let me have your attention for just a moment here, okay? Listen to these scriptures. I'm just going to quote the Word of God to you. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, He said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He said, if you're bankrupt, busted and broke, that kind of empty. Not just I'm a little light. I'm talking bankrupt, busted and broke. Come on. In John 7:37, He Himself said, He stood and cried saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In Revelation 22:17, He said, Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You say, well, wait a minute, Gabe, what about election? Don't you preach that God elected a people to serve? I thought you preached election. Doesn't the scripture say that God has a particular people that he's chosen to redeem to himself and receive to himself? And doesn't it say that the blood of Christ was only shed for those particular people? Doesn't it say that not one drop of his blood was wasted being shed in vain? Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that God's Spirit is only going to call those particular chosen people to himself? Yea and amen. Yes and absolutely. To every bit of that. Well, then why is the cry to everyone? Why ho everyone? Why is the cry to any man? Why whosoever will? It's not. That's not the cry. It's to everyone who has no spiritual money. That's who it's to. It's to everyone who is spiritually bankrupt. And only God's people see themselves to be that in the flesh. It doesn't matter what the balance of a savings account is. All of God's people see themselves as being absolutely, spiritually bankrupt before Him. They've been made to see that and made to feel that. Just bankrupt in sin. Bankrupt by sin. Ruined by sin. Our Lord did not stand up and say, any man. He said, if any man thirst. If any man thirst, truly hungers and thirsts for Christ, hungers and thirsts for the righteousness of Christ. Only God's people do. Only God's people are given that hunger and that thirst. Outside of that gift from God, the only hunger that men, women, and children naturally have is a hunger for self. A thirst for self, the deeds of self, the things of self, the gratification of self, the glorification of self. The only thirst that man has naturally is a thirst for the flesh. But if any man is caused to thirst for Christ, God's people believe him. He says, in my blood you're forgiven, and we believe him and we cry, please forgive us. Well, I believe you. Please forgive me. The Word of God says there's mercy for sinners, and we say, I believe that. Please be merciful. They beg. They beg. They need. If any man is given a thirst for the blood of Christ, a thirst for the mercy of Christ, a thirst for the grace of Christ, a thirst for the salvation that is only in Christ, the gift, the free gift. Whosoever will, take it freely. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will take it freely, let him or her take it freely. Man by nature will not have the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ freely. He won't have it freely. You can have it freely. I don't want it freely. I want to earn it myself. Man wants to do his own part. He wants to pull his own weight. He wants to pay his own way. God will not accept any sinful payment of man. The only spotless payment that God will accept is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ made. That's the only one. If any sinner has been made to see It's His payment alone. And I'm so glad. And I want it to be that way. Amen. That sounds good to me. Yes, I'll have it freely. You're giving it freely? Yes, I'll have it freely, because that's the only way I can have it. Paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ, with me having no obligation to fulfill. Him getting all the glory? Well, I'd love to give Him all the glory. Absolutely. All the credit? Absolutely. He did all the work. Whosoever has been made willing, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come on. Whoever's been made willing to have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus freely may have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus freely. It does not matter how empty you are. You know, some people say, I just can't. I'm just too empty. It doesn't matter how weak you are. I don't think I can come. I'm just too weak. It doesn't matter how empty. It doesn't matter how weak. It doesn't matter how sinful you are. I am just too sinful. I'm just not like the little sinners, the white liar sinners. I'm just too sinful. It does not matter how sinful you are. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to the Son of God. Come to the Son. Here's the answer. Here's the remedy. Here's the call. The sovereign, eternal, electing call. Come to the Son. Come to the Son of God. Here's a true story. I haven't told this one in a little while. This is a true story. In the days of the Civil War, there was a Union soldier who was out away from his home, and he got word that his mother was dying and was on her deathbed, and it wouldn't be long. And he was in Washington, and he wanted desperately to go see his mother one more time before she died. And he could not get leave to go see her. So he had it in his mind that if he could get to the president, maybe the president would grant him leave. So somehow he made his way to the White House. And he went up the steps of the White House to the front door. And there were two guards there. And, you know, he immediately tried to start stating his business, explaining to them that I have gotten word that my mother's dying and I just want to see her one more time before she dies. And I can't get leave, and I'm hoping to see the president, and I'm going to ask him. You know, before he can finish, they stopped him and said, that's not a possibility. You cannot come in. And he said, I am begging you, would you please just let me have one word with him? They said, nope, turn around and leave. And he said, you don't understand. They said, no, you don't understand. We're under direct orders. No one comes into this house. If you don't turn around and leave right now, action is going to be taken against you. So the man turned around and he walked down and he sat there on the steps of the White House. He put his head in his hand and he just started crying. Just sat there crying. And while he was sitting there, a little boy walked by looking at him strangely. Why was this grown man crying? And after a second, he sat down beside him and he said, what's wrong, mister? And the man said, you wouldn't understand. And he said, well, just tell me, what's wrong? And the man said, it wouldn't do any good. And he said, well, mister, just tell me, what is it? So he explained, my mother is dying and I want to go see her one more time before she dies. And the only way I can go is if the president would give me a leave, and I cannot get in to see the president. And the little boy said, well, I'll take you in. Let's go. And he said, huh? He said, stand up. Let's go. So the man stood up. And they walked up the steps straight through the front door of the White House. And they walked down a hall where another door was with two guards. And they walked straight through that door into the Oval Office. And sitting at his desk was President Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln looked up at that little boy and said, "What can I do for you, son?" And he said, "Dad, this man needs to see you." That little boy was Tad Lincoln, the son of the President of the United States of America. You go to the son, and you will not leave empty-handed. You come to the son. You get to the son, and you'll be satisfied. You will have what you need. You will not be turned away. God promises. I can say, "I promise you all I want to." I didn't do any good. God, according to His covenant, promises, "I will not turn them away. I will not." Do you need forgiveness? Many don't. Some do. Do you need forgiveness for the sins that you can't stop committing every single day? Come to the Son for that. Come to the Son for that. Come to Christ. Do you need a hope that God is going to spare you in the end? Come to Christ for that. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Spiritual rest. Eternal rest. I pray God will cause every soul here, I mean this, every soul here to see himself or herself in this spiritual condition. I pray every soul here will hear the call of the heart to come to Christ. Come to Christ. If you do, come with this assurance right here. This is what he said. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But all that the Father has given to me shall come to me." They'll hear it. They'll need it. They'll come like every sinner does, lowly, crawling, meekly, beggarly, humbly. "But all that the Father has given to me," he said, "shall come to me. And him or her that cometh to me," greatest words ever spoken, "I will in no wise cast out." That's the greatest news ever heard. Sweetest words I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. If you need him, God Almighty puts you in that position of needing him. You come to him with all your need and he'll supply it. He will not send you away empty. He will not do it. All right.